And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is February 8th, 2026. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. I hope you enjoyed that message. Finished that one late last night. It was something that never played here and felt like the Holy Spirit was working and felt like it was something that needed to be played. And, you know, I couldn't help but as I watched that message, just thinking about the world events and the events that we see happening in our country today. If you took out the dates and put today's date on it, I think it would be more relevant than when it was preached 35 plus years ago. I think it was over 36 years ago, but I don't know the exact date on that one, but it was definitely a classic, and I really enjoyed it, and I hope that you did as well. Its title was The Wicked Will Perish, and praise God. I think that that's one of the things that we are seeing taking place. And one of the things that I'm really encouraged about is just the waking up that so many people are doing. You know, we see so many things that have been, you know, not talked about very much, and people are asking questions. They're asking the questions of, you know, if these Jews aren't God's chosen people, then who is? And I know that just recently, the books that we've been sending out, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age has been a really popular one. The Greatest Love Story Never Told is something that we've been getting a lot of orders for. And we're getting a lot of stuff that people are, I can tell, it's new names that are writing in and requesting information, and they're interested in the Abrahamic Covenant. They're interested in who we are. And to me, that's just very encouraging. And, you know, as I see so many things taking place out there, I really think that we're living in the times where we need to be praying for discernment. You know, this week I was able to watch some videos that you couldn't tell if they were AI created or if they were the real deal. And, you know, there's so much stuff, there's so much false information that's being pumped out right now as well. It's we really need to be in prayer for the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives and for the discernment that we need to have so that we are not deceived. And I really feel like that there is a lot of people that are being deceived by the hands of the enemy right now. And when you see somebody that's going through something like that, I just want to encourage you to pray for them. You know, it's amazing how when you pray for somebody, God can really change their heart and their mind. And, you know, what does it, people are out there all the time, and what are they saying? Well, I'm following my heart. And, you know, okay, that sounds really good, but the Word says the heart is the most deceitful part of a man. And we don't need to be following our heart. We need to be following the truth. And we can get that, you know, through a working of the Holy Spirit and through the discernment that we can that we get from our Heavenly Father. We're going to have, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for these messages and for them being preserved and for the work that you're doing with these time capsules that we're pulling out and bringing back to life. And Lord, I'm just grateful for them. And if we don't have preachers like these guys anymore, and I'm just thankful, Father, for that you preserved so many of these truths, and that we can air them today, that we can get them on the internet, put them on DVDs, and that we can get them out to the remnant, that we can spread your word, the gospel, the good news. And Lord, as we gathered together here, I just pray, Father, that we may be pleasing in your sight, that you shine your face down upon us, and that you grant us that discernment that we need to have. We pray that you give us an extra dose of it. We ask for an extra dose of the Holy Spirit. Your word says that we have not because we ask not, Lord, and we're asking for it, and we need it in the times that we're living in, and we just ask that you continue to bless our hands and the labors that we do, and let us be a light into this world. Lord, we pray that we can shed light and truth wherever we go. And Lord, we pray that if we have been deceived, that you reveal where we've been deceived so that we can make those corrections to it. Lord, we thank you for these things, and we thank you for just for that we can see your hands at work. Lord, we just ask that you continue to lead us into more truths. Lord, we want this nation to be a God-fearing nation once again. We pray, Father, for it to happen. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We're going to start off with, well, I guess not start off with, but we're going to have a song, and this one is A House of Gold.
So this world would not be
Amen. Well, looking at the clock, we've got to move on rather rapidly. Gonna have a sound clip here in just a second, but as I can just tell that the way that the Holy Spirit was working yesterday, when I was working on this message by Pastor Peters, Brother Zach called, and I was talking with him, and we had quite a lengthy conversation trying to. And he was working on what he was going to talk about, and I gave him some ideas on some things that just I've been seeing, and I played him a sound clip, and this is a sound clip from yesterday from Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and there's a lot of things that we've been talking about in world events and what's happening in Minnesota and Oregon and different places, and you know, it's a real controversial issue for a lot of people, and I, you know, it's one of those things that there's not very many things, if ever, has been something that I've actually agreed with what the federal government is doing, and you know, most of the time it's like I think they're a waste of space and need to cease from existing, and you know, I was talking with a brother a couple of days ago when we were talking about you know, the presidents and stuff and our government officials and everything. And, you know, it's there's things that I see that Trump is doing that I just cannot stand and I hate. Had a Christian brother, an elderly man, that called up and he talked for a while. And, you know, he said, we haven't had a president be appointed that we haven't deserved. And he said, God is the one. He said, we've got these presidents, but God's in control of it. God's in control of these presidents. And he's like, you need to remember that. And you need to remember that we haven't had one that if God didn't want in that position, it wouldn't be there. Sometimes we get these rulers, and we can look through history, the history of our people. God has used our enemies and evil and wicked rulers to bring the chastisement that our people need. And I think that a lot of times that we miss that. I know people that are out there that are just, they want to curse and pray against Donald Trump for what he's doing. And I don't agree with that. I think that we need to be praying for our leaders and lift them up. Is there some that are definitely, is there some that need to be prayed against? Absolutely. But we need to have that discernment. We need to use that. And yesterday, while we were on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, Brother Will, he went on a, he asked if he could do a little bit of preaching, and so he did. And we got a 3-minute video clip or audio clip that I'm going to play. But to me, it is I've been hearing it, and I've been hearing it from a lot of these young people that you know, they're repeating, regurgitating like the stuff that's coming out of some of these young popular people like Billie Eilish and whoever they are. And they're saying that there's no immigration on stolen land. And, you know, we as a people know that this was, our people coming to America was prophesied by God. These invaders that we have coming against this land right now are the chastisement for our sins. And I really believe that getting these stinking Somalis out of here and these Haitians and you name it, fill in the blank, getting them out of here is an answer to prayer. It's because there's been a remnant that has humbled themselves and seeked his face and turned from their wicked ways. And I believe that God is healing their land. This land was settled by our forefathers, and it was the Germans, it was the Swedish, it was the Germanic, Scandinavian kindred and Celtic people that settled this land. They were immigrants. And it was prophesied by God. And this is the land, and we are the people. And I'm thankful to be able to speak to a remnant that understands that. Justice, we'll go ahead and have that audio clip.
No, Jason, if it's okay with you, and I want to take just a minute to preach. Yeah. And it's not a news topic. It's not a news story or anything, but I want to talk about Somalis. But it's not just Somalis. I mean, it could be Haitians. It could be Sri Lankans. I don't care. But what I will say is for our people, the remnant, the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and descended people, our kin, our kindred, the people that know who real Israel is, and I mean Jacob Israel of the Bible, who that means, not the modern media narrative or the prostitute, pimp, pulpit churches. I mean the truth that Pastor Peters brought, the truth that Scriptures for America is built on. For those people that are listening to me, if for one moment you think these Somalis are fill in the blank of whoever it is, the Haitians or whatever, are our neighbors, you're wrong. They are not our neighbors. Neighbors are not someone who geographically lives across the street from you. They are not your neighbors. Your neighbors are people of your nation, of your kindred. And these people that have been brought on us, that have been thrown into our communities, that have been pushed into our schools, who have replaced our workers, it was done by the enemy in order to push us further and further down because of our wickedness, of falling away from God and God's laws, just as it was foretold in Deuteronomy as the punishment of what would happen to us if we embrace that wickedness. And if you stop for a moment and look at what ICE is doing or whatever, and you think they are the wicked ones for wanting to rid our land of these people, you need to stop and think about what you're saying. Because those people, these invaders, these so-called immigrants or whatever, they are racial strangers to us that are the punishment for our wickedness. And we have to bend a knee as a nation, as American white Christians, and pray for God's forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you, I think that those prayers of the remnants have happened, Jason and Tim. And I think we're seeing a reprieve of that by what is going on with the deportation of these strangers away from us. And I am one man right now. I'm not speaking for Tim or Jason or even SFA. I'm just saying I thank God for what's happening, because I believe that this is a reprieve from our wickedness and our sin, and I pray that it continues to go on. But anyone who is believing that these people are our neighbors, are our kin, or whatever, I just think you're misguided, and you really need to go back and find out the truth, because these people are not us. They are not our neighbors. And I don't know, maybe y'all can correct me if I'm wrong in anything I've just said. I'll take the rebuke, but that's certainly what I believe.
Today, at coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and got a lot of calls yesterday after the program, and I think that you know, sometimes you know, the truth hurts, and sometimes it makes you think and rethink things, and you know, truth's never outdated. I really believe that ties in with the message that Brother Zach has before us in the next 30 minutes, and also with what Pastor Peters had to say in that message, the wicked will perish. And anyway, that's what I wanted to start off with. We're going to have a message with Brother Zach, and then we'll be back for communion.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, February 8th, 2026, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning, and we are going to begin by defining who Jesus Christ is according to the Word of God, and that is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And I begin by reading, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. So I want to start out this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm going to begin by reading in verse 1. When the Lord your God, let me back up a little bit. So this is in Deuteronomy. This is when the sons of Israel were being taken out of the land of Egypt. They went around, they went in circles in the desert for 40 years due to unbelief, the inability to repent, and they just didn't believe God. And God made them pay and made them walk in the desert for 40 years because they wouldn't listen to his warnings. They wouldn't listen to what he had to say. And what happened to the house of Israel at that time was a cleansing. And very few people from the beginning of that journey actually made it into the promised land because of the sin in the camp. And that's what was going on. So when we get here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, God is handing out his law. Moses is writing it down. And what God is doing is telling, he's giving them a instruction manual on how to conduct themselves. He's letting them know what is right and wrong, how to handle stuff, what to do in certain situations. Now, here currently in the United States, the New Jerusalem, we find ourselves in the exact same situation. The video or the audio that Jason played earlier was from Brother Will. He hit on some things that was, you know, well, duh. Because of the sin of this land, you know, we are the New Jerusalem. We're the promised land that was promised to King David in 2 Samuel 7:10. That was prophecy that was being fulfilled. And so if we are Israelites, if we are one of those nations that formed a multitude of nations that was promised to Abraham, our forefather, then these laws, statutes, and judgments apply to us because Jesus said, do not think I've come to abolish the law, no, but to fulfill it. Don't think that I come to abolish the prophets. He said that in that statement as well. That's in Matthew. So what we find ourselves today in is the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28 in the curses of disobedience. This is what we find ourselves in. And what do we see ourselves? You know, for the last 20 years, we've been overrun. Our culture has been eroded, disvalued. The United States, for a long time, has not been good anymore. But what do we see? Now, before I get into the scripture, what do we see? We see a group of people repenting, praying, fighting back, pushing back, and how are they pushing back? They're pushing back with their freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. This is America. We can think whatever we want. As long as we don't, you know, violate anybody's life, liberty, or property, we can think whatever we want. And we can say whatever we want. As long as we're not, given false accusations about people, which is wrong, which, you know, you don't lie about people. But this is America. And what you see going on, there's a group of people, Anglo-Saxon, Christian foundation group of people that's pushing back. They're tired of all the pedophiles in the land. You know, in my hometown here that I live in, there's three school districts that I can think of that's within a 15-mile radius of my home where they've hauled out teachers because they were pedos. We have enemy people, enemy thought process all around us. How did it get here? Because we've allowed other cultures to pollute our mind say right is, I guess it's right. Wrong, well, maybe we don't want to stand up against that, you know, because we don't want to be the guy that stands up what's right. And slowly, over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, our culture has been eroded. The government threw out our God out of the school system and doesn't allow prayer in anymore because Christian values are no good. They're worthless in their mind. And they've fed that to the people. And Judeo-Christianity has taken over in this land where the law is abolished and Jesus Christ is only in the business of saving souls so you can go to heaven. And they threw his politics out the window, which this book, the Bible, is nothing but politics for the most part. So what do we have? We have invaders in our land. They're getting elected into Congress by the left. They're voting for laws that are contrary to our God's laws. Because what is going on? God is keeping his word. If you don't obey me, this, that, and the other is going to happen to you. These are the reasons why our country is going to hell in a handbasket. Because we've abandoned our country as, and I'm talking our country as a whole, we've abandoned God's rules and statutes. We said we don't need them. We're going to do it our way, as Pastor Peters used to say. So now we have all these protests. We have ICE coming in and tearing up. People are getting shot. People are getting mad because these people are getting shot. They're getting mad because ICE is throwing out the illegals, the worst of the worst. What are these illegals bringing into our country? Drugs, fentanyl. They're exploiting children. Are these qualities that you think is okay to have in our land, America, our wonderful land? Are these things that you want going on? There are people that are literally protesting evil, wicked foreigners from getting thrown out of our land. That is what's going on. I was on Facebook the other day, and I was doing some doom scrolling on my reels, and there was a video of, the heck is her name? She's a singer. She's a pop singer. Billie Eilish. And she said, there's no illegals in a land that was taken that is popular. I forget how she said it. That is full of immigrants. Well, let me tell you something. When our forefathers came here, well, most people don't actually know anything about Indian culture. And if you're an Indian and you don't like about your culture, and you might get offended at what I'm about to say, but that's too bad. But those guys were brutal. They were butchering themselves long before white guys showed up. Yes, there was the Indian Wars. But what happened? The Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, kindred people showed up, cleaned up the land, built a society, built an infrastructure that, you know, think about the things that the European man has built on this land. Even in Europe, hot water. You know, here in Michigan, it's been below zero for the last month. I don't have any frostbite. I've been warm. I'm sitting in a cabin right now that's 70 degrees looking at a fire. I got hot wire, hot water. This is all infrastructure that our forefathers, our kin built. And these people are coming over here. The American Indian never built anything like that. The Africans never built anything like that on their continent until the white man showed up. I'm just saying. I mean, look at history. What have they built? Have they made anybody's lives better and more comfortable and more prosperous? No. But what do we have? We have people that are protesting, throwing, excuse me, non-long game viewed people, minded people, getting mad because they're throwing them out, and then they want to introduce what they think is good and right, and you know, the Israelites are over there throwing in their lot with them because they've forgotten God's law. And now they're over there. There's a lot of our people protesting saying, you know, why are you getting rid of these awful, wicked people, these drug dealers, these murderers, these pedophiles? It's insanity. It's insanity. So we're going to look at what the first step at how this leaven has entered our society. And that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 7. I begin by reading in verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are to and where you are entering to possess it, and clears it away, clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Gershites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. God gave them the strength and the ability to clear those people away. It was God's will to clear that land from that filth. Many of you know about Baal law, killing babies, orgy, sacrifices that shouldn't be done, that's detestable to our God. And, you know, the entire earth is God's land. That whole land was cursed because of those practices. And when God says enough is enough, enough is enough. You're gone. That's what happened to the American Indian. You're gone. Done. I'm going to put my rules and regulations on this land, and it's going to be blessed. This is what? Holy ground. If it's not going to be holy ground, then God's not going to bless it. It is that simple. Verse 2. And when the Lord your God delivers them before you, and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. So what does God say here? You are going to destroy them. Why are you going to destroy them? Because you are good and you do what is right and you obey God's law. When you obey God's law, it empowers you and you will defeat them. Even though they outnumber you, they're stronger than you, you will win. Because their weakness is their sin, and sin, and God can't handle that. And if you're a good people, you will be delivered. And what are you to do? You are to make no covenant with them. None. This isn't give and take. This isn't, you know, what do you think is right and wrong? No covenant with them. What is going on in Minnesota right now? We have a group of people from which my brother was over in their country, and he was telling me how they act. See, that's the problem with Americans, especially lefty Americans. They've never, ever really experienced anything gnarly. They've never experienced the consequences of their actions. They don't want to experience the consequences for their actions. That's why they love abortion. They don't want to experience the consequences for their actions. So what are they doing? They're banding up with them. They're feeling sorry for them. They're making covenants with them. They're saying you're good to plant roots in here. You're good to sit there and join the U.S. Congress and pass all these crazy laws that are contrary to the law of our God. What does it do? It takes that protection and strength from God's people. That's what happens. Let's continue by reading. Verse 3. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them, and you shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. Why? Well, for one, you stay with your race. You stay with your race. So I haven't gotten to the point to where, and I'm going to read it here in a second, so what the consequence of doing that and making covenant with them and being okay with them with their rules and regulations, there's a consequence. There's a consequence that spreads across the land like a plague. Verse 5, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. Why? Because when you allow those rules and regulations to intermingle with the law of God, it's going to anger our God. It's going to disrupt the political system. It's going to be ineffective. It's not going to be fair. Justice will not be served. The wrong will be viewed as right, and the right will be viewed as wrong. It'll be leaven in the minds of our nation. It destroys our nation. Make no covenant with them. Do not marry them. Why? Because their daughters will lead your sons to follow other gods, which will anger our God. This is what our country has done as a nation, as a whole. They've allowed all this, you know, any Tom, Dick, and Harry to come in, have an opinion. It's like, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson that said, you know, this Constitution and this political system that we've made, as far as the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, is only good for a good Christian people. People that have their senses about them. Because you can see the doors open. You can see, you know, if you're not good and you allow and you judge incorrectly, then leaven will get in, laws will be passed, people will be fed. They won't follow the law that's written on their heart because the consequence physically is not there. And then the generations down the road will end up paying for it, just like what we're doing right now. And then when you sit there and you see a government, a president, now I don't agree everything with Trump's doing because I think there's other things going on, but I'm just specifically talking about this topic. Throwing out illegals, drug runners. I mean, I don't know if a lot of you realize, like, all these big cities, you know, they're basically stopping points to push drugs across our entire nation. One of the biggest sex trafficking towns in the United States is the town that I work in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's in my state. You know, we got my governor over there saying, oh, you know, we're not going to allow, I forget what she said. I've seen a little bit about it, but, you know, going to sit there and protect this nonsense. What do you think she's had to, she has been blessed for doing wrong. But, I mean, if she is or is or like, a couple generations down the road, it'll be all wasted. Our job is to plant and teach people the ways of our God. So that way, there's longevity in our country. And when you see things like this, these drug runners and child traffickers getting thrown out of this country, what is wrong with that? Make no covenant with them. They are not your friend. See, that's the thing with an Israelite. They just can't wrap their head around somebody, an Israelite, well, they're a sheep. It's very hard for them to recognize that there's a wolf, and he's a meat eater. As the Bible says, be wise as serpents and isn't innocent as doves. They can't wrap their head around that they don't have the heart and the good intention of what they do. And when you get that leaven in your mind, it's just a big mess. You make no covenant with them. You don't intermarry with them. Because they'll lead your sons away. If they come here, they have to abide by our rules. They have to come here legally. I met this one dude a couple weeks ago. Where was he from? I think he was from Romania. And he was an older gentleman. He's probably in his 60s. And he's like, this country, and he's talking about the United States, and he's sitting there watching everything going on. Has no idea what they're playing with. Socialism, communism, it's not a thing. Why do they play with it? Because they've never suffered the consequences of their actions. He's like, they just don't know. They just don't know. As the Bible says, keep your eyes on the Lord. You got your Bible? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. I'm going to begin by reading in verse 12. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land in which you are going, or it will become a snare in your midst, but rather you are to tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, and cut down their ashram. For you are not to worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, he is a jealous God. Otherwise, you might make covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they will play the harlot with their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and someone might invite you to eat of his sacrifice, and you might take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters might play the harlot with their gods, and cause your sons to play the harlot with their gods. You shall make for yourself no molten god. Keep Your politics is what God's saying right here. Don't allow any other gods, Satan's rules, Babylon's rules, Canaanite rules. You don't allow them in your land. And don't let your sons and daughters play with their sons and daughters. Because why? They will corrupt them. And now you get what you have right now, and you see a little bit of house cleaning going on, and all these lefties don't have the stomach to see it. And they join their side. Oh, we're all immigrants. None of those people up in Minnesota, none of those people, even the guys that I used to work with in the construction business, their forefathers did not build this system that we have in the United States to bless their sons. They are benefiting from it, benefiting from the work that our forefathers did, that my dad did, that I'm doing. And they're illegal, and they got a whole political half that's backing them, saying that they deserved it. Well, I don't deserve anything. You don't deserve anything. And they're just sitting there. And here's the crazy thing about it. You have all these Judeo-Christian preachers oblivious to Deuteronomy 28. They're not sitting there like Pastor Peters used to sit with his Bible up in his hand with Deuteronomy 28 and say, see, this is what happened. They're dogs that don't bark. They're worthless. They are actually more worthless. See, I was talking with yesterday. All governments are put in place by our God, the great I Am, whose son is Jesus Christ. They are there to bless people for doing, if they're doing good, and they are to inflict punishment and curses and rob you and me and our sons and our daughters of their future if we're doing bad, especially in the United States. When we sat there and we had Public Law 97-280, which says this republic is built on the Bible. What, in other words, like Andrew Jackson said, it's the rock, the foundation of our country. So, in other words, we took all the Bible's laws and applied them to our laws. We've allowed so much leaven in. We've allowed so many dirty bird Baal preachers in that sat there and told us what we wanted to hear, because, you know, we as the church, as God's people, as Israel, we are the feminine energy of God. And you've heard me say this before, women don't like to hear the truth. They can't handle it. They can't take being criticized when they need to be. We need to be criticized as a nation. We need preachers out there criticizing our people, other preachers that are out there hammering, this is why things are the way they are. We've abandoned the law of God. We have the curses of Deuteronomy on our shoulders. We have this huge yoke on us. This is why our government does what we do. Now, when we have a little bit of repentance going on in the land, people are tired of the pedophiles. People are tired of the fentanyl getting pumped into our nation by illegals. We have a whole political left losing their minds. I wonder how many political left actually runs calls on a opioid overdose when somebody's not breathing, their heart's still going, their oxygen levels are down to 40. I wonder how many of them are actually dealing with that. Just think about it. Do they even see it? Do they actually see the mental illness? Do the feminists actually even recognize the fact that their movement has pushed all the dads out, and we have two and three generations that were raised by nothing but women and not godly, manly men that fear the Lord, that tell their sons what to do, is shows them what's right, that shows them how to work, that you provide for your family, and you go out there every day and you lay the hammer down and you do it tirelessly because that's your job as a man, as a Christian man, as a white man, and you're not going to be a bum. Where is that? Right now, I'm in a situation with my kid's school, my older son. You know, there's a bunch of leftists in there. They're busting his chops about stuff, you know. And, you know, and there for a while, I was sitting there telling him, like, you got to be respectful. You got to be respectful. And then he tells me some of this garbage that they're telling him. And then you know, that particular school, two pedos got hauled off to jail that were teachers in his high school. Why the heck should I? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should just tell them to go to war. And what I mean by go to war, like, give them the, you know what? I'll teach them how to work. I'll teach them how to read a spreadsheet. I'll teach them how to do QuickBooks. It'd be a lot more than what's, be a lot better and equip him for his adult life than what's going on. This leaven has gotten into everything. Exodus 34. Where was I? Did I read that already? I think I did. Verse 11. Be sure to observe what I have commanded you this day. Behold, I am going to drive the Amorite out before you, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land which you're going from a snare in your midst, but rather you're to tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, cut down their ashram, but you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Read it again. Or, in other words, you are not to make any other covenant. People that are coming into your land and allow them to take any place of authority and make covenants with them. It goes both ways. Do what is right. What is right. Work hard. Be a godly man. Take for your actions. Take responsibility for the situation you're in, whether it be in your family, your financial situation, the situation in your community. Look at it. Recognize the fact that if there's not great repentance in this land, the consequences, they're coming. And just know this, it's not going to come right away. You'll be okay. You'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to get by. But your grandchildren, they're the ones that are going to pay. So now when you see this little bit of payment going on there, everyone's all boo. I mean, seriously, grow up. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Now, this is the second part, which I'm almost out of time. Jason, I talked to Jason earlier. He said, give me 40 minutes. I'm already at 35. You white men, you lazy bums. It's what I've been seeing. So I run my own business. And I'm in a situation right now where I'm helping this guy out. I'm working for him by contract 1st of March. But it's actually been a good thing. I was like getting really upset. And because I sit there and it's given me an opportunity because, like, in my own business, I'm kind of like in a little cocoon. There's only a few people that are around me, but they're just like me. I trained them all. They're all savages. They're all killers. I sit there and I think, well, that's the way everybody must be. Okay. Yeah. All right. Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Begin by reading it. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in a disciplined manner among you. So what is he saying? Well, let's just back up a little bit. An unruly life, that's somebody that's not anchored. That's somebody that really doesn't know what's going on. That's somebody that really doesn't understand how the world actually operates. And if you, they know that they are, if they're to get anything, they have to do certain positive actions in order to receive it. If you live an unruly life, you're over there, you're one of these people that I'm saying, must be nice, always got your hand out, you're a bum. You're just a bum. And I sit there and I see my fellow Anglo-Saxons of bums. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. It makes me sick. And then they sit there, and you sit there and you wonder why your country is going down the toilet. It's because you're a bum. It's their bums. I'm not saying you guys specifically that are listening. People are bums. They're lazy. They don't exert themselves. They sit, they don't take responsibility for the spot that they're in their life as far as financial, the home they live in. So, I mean, it's just, they'd rather go in, put 8 hours in, and go home and play video games. And then sit there and wonder why their wife isn't, because, you know, who wants to be around somebody like that? You're unruly. You're undisciplined. Take discipline. Verse 8, nor did we eat bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not burden any of you. What do you mean? They paid their own way. They were savages. They understood how it worked. I mean, they kind of got, they're here because they're ministers of the Lord, but yet they got to provide their own bread. Do you see that now with these Judeo-Christians? They live these great luxurious lives, and they're bums. They're bums. Like Jocko Willick says, get after it. Anything that bad happens to you, good. Learn from it. Good. Sickening. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this one. Is that willing to work? Then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some of you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Person, we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion, eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. For if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with all of you. Basically what Paul's saying here, you have to call out lazy people. You have to call them out. Don't be a liability. You wonder why your country is going down the toilet? It's because a lot of people out there are liabilities. Other people are just, oh, must be nice. Look, let me tell you something. You know what I was doing today before I recorded this? I was out grinding. That's what I was out doing. I was out on the road doing sales, doing estimates, talking to people, shaking hands, because you want to know why? I'm not a bum. And I don't want anybody to look at me like anything was ever handed to me and that I didn't put my best foot forward every single time. You have all these people on the left. You got a bunch of lazy people. Don't want nobody got their hands out, not doing the right thing politically or at work. And then you sit there and you wonder, we're going to vote for Trump and everything's going to be better. He's going to fix anything, everything. You can't control what Trump does. You can control what you do. Do the right thing. I didn't get to my last scripture. I'm out of time. For those of you that belong to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, be a savage. Any of them other guys, run them over. Bless you, keep you, make space shine upon you, grant you peace. Out.
Thanks, Brother Zach. Nobody here thinks you're a bum, so, but I appreciate that message. With its Psalms 105, and it says, the Lord's wonderful works in behalf of Israel. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders and glories in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and the judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. We come before you and prepare to eat of your body and drink of your blood. Lord, we reflect upon our lives. Lord, as we do this, Father, we do it in remembrance of the price that was paid to give us freedom of our sins. The price that was paid. Lord, we thank you that you allowed us to come to the understanding that we are your people. This is your land. And Father, we don't take that truth lightly. We thank you for it. We thank you. Lord, we just ask that you be with us throughout this upcoming week. We pray that you give us an extra dose of the Holy Spirit and more discernment that we need to have in our lives and the times that we're living in. We pray that you just assist us. And Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land. And we just ask, Father, for your work to be done. We We come before you and we humbly cry out for you to save America. We love this land and we know that you love it as well. Our enemies have made an uproar against us, and Lord, we expose them, each and every one of them. We know that you know who the enemy is, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't see it clearly. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you identify these enemies of Christ, these enemies of your people, the enemies that want to spot it out. Lord, we pray, Father, for them to become that stubble and be consumed with that fire. We know that you're doing a work, Lord, and we thank you for the work that you are doing. Even though sometimes we don't understand it, your ways are not our ways, your thoughts are not our thoughts. We know that you are perfect in your ways. As we partake of communion today, we ask, Father, for the extra protection that we need, our mind, and that we can put on that mind of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. We pray, amen. You may partake.